in and pounded it in. Matthew chapter 4. Let's take a look at verse 19. Intimacy with Jesus. You ever going to be a magnetic leader? You got to be intimate with the Lord. Plain and simple. Matthew chapter 4, look at verse 19. And he said unto them, Jesus speaking, follow me. Ever say, follow me.
Follow me.
Now that word follow in there is the Greek word duete, and it literally means come here. And that's what it means in the Greek. It is a forceful term that means, and you could put an exclamation mark on the end of it. It says, come here. And that's something that we need to understand. That's what Jesus is saying. Come here. Come here. And he's saying, he doesn't say that in a mean, forceful way, but in a way, you got to do this. Come here. That's what it means. Believe me, I studied this. That's exactly what it means. Look at verse 19. And he saith unto them, come here, and I will make you fishers of men. Everybody say make.
Make.
Now, the word make in the Greek is poieo, and it means to creatively make, meaning this. If you come here to Jesus, he will creatively make you a magnetic leader. And the alternative is also the case. If you don't come here, you will not be creatively made. And nobody's going to follow you. You'll just be a fisher, not a fisher of men. So we say, come here. And he will creatively make. No coming here, no creatively made. Isn't that right? The second magnificent mandate of a marvelous leader. You ready for this? This is going to be something new, something exciting, something you never heard before. Character. If you're ever going to be a magnetic leader, you've got to have character. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:2, the Bible says that we ought to be living epistles read of all men. Isn't that right? Now, let me give you the definition, and I felt like the Lord gave this to me this afternoon, a good fresh definition of character that's very biblical. Character is the totality of the fruit of the Spirit consistently manifested in our lives, both publicly and privately. Let me say that again. Character is the totality of the fruit of the Spirit consistently manifested in our lives, both publicly and privately. Can you see that? Amen. In other words, if one of the nine fruits of the Spirit is not being consistently manifested in our lives, I'll tell you what it is. It is a character flaw. Isn't that right? Amen. If you're ever going to be a magnetic leader that attracts people, you're going to have character. All ministry, listen to this, all ministry is based on relationships. All relationships are based on trust. All trust is based on character. Therefore, to violate your character is to violate your trust, which is to violate relationships, which is to violate your leadership. It's that simple, guys. Let me say it again. All ministry is based on relationships. All relationships are based on trust. All trust is based on character. To violate your character is to violate your trust, which is to violate your relationships, which is to violate your leadership. Got to have character. Could I have an amen? People will not follow long-term whom they cannot trust. Are you listening to me? This is a new nugget. You ready for this new nugget? Character is the foundation of all respect. Character is the foundation of all respect. If you want people to respect you, you got to have character. If you don't have any character, listen to this nugget. Without character, all efforts to obtain respect, are superficial. Can you hear that? Amen. You know the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:2 that we're living epistles read of all men. Isn't that right? Guys, if you want to be on the bestsellers list, people got to believe what they read. Can you see that? That's a nugget the Lord gave me this afternoon. We're all living epistles read of all men. If you want to be on the bestsellers list, people got to believe what they're reading. And when they take a look at our life, are we believable? Got to have character. Could I have an amen? The third magnificent mandate of a magnetic leader. Are you ready for this? You got to create a sense of belonging. If you're going to be a magnetic leader, you must create a sense of belonging. Ephesians 1:6, the Bible says we're accepted in the beloved. Isn't that right? Meaning that God creates an environment for you and I to be accepted. You've heard me say this nugget before. If we're accepted by the best, who cares about the rest? Isn't that right? But as a magnetic leader, you've got to create an environment that fosters people's acceptance. Now, you remember the old TV show Cheers? Now, I'm again not recommending that. Could I have an amen? I know you all think I'm carnal. I mentioned 10 earlier. Now I mentioned Cheers. I'm not recommending it. Could I have an amen? I was a sinner once. I wasn't always perfect like you. Amen, right? Okay, praise the Lord. And remember that show Cheers? And they would come into that, people always know your name. right? Isn't that right? Y'all remember that? Well, think about that for a second. Just think about that. Just think about that just for a second. What would happen? They would always come into the bar, and then all of a sudden here would be Norm. Remember, and what would everybody say? Norm! Let's say it. Come on, get it on the tape.
Norm!
Now think about that. Now, I know that's carnal and on and on and on. But what if you fostered an environment where every time somebody came in, they felt special? You think they'd come back? Well, that's exactly how God makes us feel. That is, if we're ever going to be a magnet leader, that's how we have to be here. That's how we have to be wherever we are. We got to create an environment. I tell my staff all the time. I say, staff, now I'm going to tell you my techniques because you know that I don't want to hold back anything that's profitable. I tell my staff all the time, staff, anytime you see a student come in or another staff member, you look up from your computer and you say hello with a warm hello. You make them feel special when they come in. I tell them that all the time. Now, I want you to get a hold of that. You say, well, that's a technique. No, it's not. It's called creating an environment that fosters acceptance. See, you have to be trained how to do those things. Look up from your doggone tunnel vision every once in a while and say, hi. Hi, nice to see you, Kim. Hello, Ryan. Good to see you. Make somebody feel loved and accepted. Amen. Can you see that? Amen. I mean, that's extremely important. We have to create that environment. You know, what if every time Keith walked in here as a staff person, every time he walked in and I saw him, I said, oh, it's you. Hi. Oh, he just would love to come back here and work here. Isn't that right? Just love. Hi, Keith. Every time I see them, I'll say something like this. Fausties! Hey, Fausties! How's my daughter? You ever had Fausties in the morning? There's nothing better. But you know, I do. I'm all the time. When a staff comes in, I say, hey, how you doing? When a student, hey, how you doing? So, I don't know if you remember some of you on the missions trip, you know, we'd be up studying, whatever, come down for dinner. I'd come around and I'd start giving you shoulder rubs, you know, and say, hey, how you doing? You got to create an environment where people feel accepted. Is anybody listening to me? Now, if you're going to be a magnetic leader, that's what you have to do. Can I have an amen? Amen. I like it. Now, that's a two-way street. That's a two-way street. I mean, don't ever let your pastor walk by you without saying hello to him. Hello, sir, how you doing? Don't ever let Priesty walk by you without saying hello, how you doing? I'm serious. You need to be kind. It's a two-way street. Can you imagine now if we got staff every time you come to the door, Shawnee! Even when he comes in late, Shawnee! Good to see you. How you doing? And Shawnee, every time he sees Mr. Freeze or Chuck, he says, hey, Mr. Chuck, how you doing? Can you imagine what an environment, what an attractive, magnetic environment that would be for people? If you want to attract people, if you want to be a magnetic leader, you got to create an environment where people feel a sense of belonging. Now you see, well, that's carnal. That's absolutely biblical. Is anybody listening to me? Amen. Magnetic mandate, magnificent, whatever, number four. You ready for this? Confidence. If you're going to be a magnetic leader, you've got to have confidence. You got to have confidence. Bible says in Proverbs 3 and verse 26, the Bible says, the Lord is our confidence. But let's break that down even more specifically. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Got to have confidence. Everybody say, I got to have confidence. Now, if I got to have confidence to be a magnetic leader, where is this confidence going to come from? 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5. Are you ready? You enjoying this? How many of you like to be a magnetic leader in this new millennium? Every one of you ought to be raising your hand. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And let's take a look at this. All this good stuff. Oh, Pastor Rob Mesker, he don't know what he's in for tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's take a look at verse 6. Where does confidence come from? If we need confidence to be a magnetic leader, where does it come from? Look at verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident knowing. Now, the root and the source of all confidence, listen to me, is knowledge. Ever say knowledge? Now, let me tell you what kills confidence. Condemnation. Condemnation kills confidence. If you're walking around feeling condemned, that's why you have to have an understanding of righteousness. If you're walking around feeling condemned, it'll kill your confidence. But confidence comes from knowledge. We are always confident. Notice what it said. Always confident knowing. It's where you don't know is where you'll lose your confidence. It's where you know is where you'll have confidence. Why do you think I come up here into classes day in and day out? I'm so confident. I know what I'm talking about. I didn't just get it off a tape the day before. I know what I'm talking about. Anyway, listen to me. That's where confidence comes from. And if you want to get it, that's where it comes from. Listen to this. Leaders must know that they know. Isn't that right? Leaders must know that they know. Listen to this. And they must make it clear to others that they know what they know. It's not just you know what you know, but you got to make it clear to others that you know what you know. Is anybody listening? Listen to this. However, this becomes impossible if you don't know what you know. If you don't know that you know, nobody else is going to know that you know. You know? Could I have an amen? But that's true. If you know what you know and make it clear that you know what you know, then people will be confident. That you'll bring in a sense of confidence. However, if you don't really know that you know, they're not going to know that you know. Did anybody listen to me on that? Man, that's strong stuff. Listen to this. People tend to be secure. Therefore, stability breeds security, and stability comes from knowledge. Isaiah 33:6, the Bible says that knowledge and wisdom is the stability of our times. People tend to be insecure. Therefore, if you know what's going on, it will bring a stability into people's lives and into situations. But you can't just fake it. You got to really know. That's why I'm so high on the second year. You got to really know. I'm serious about that. Amen. Now listen to this. Magnetic mandate number 5. You ready for this? Hope. As a leader, if you want to be a magnetic leader, you've got to inspire hope in people. You've got to inspire hope in people. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:12 that hope deferred makes a heart sick. Someone said, well, you know, faith gives substance to the things hoped for. That someone happens to probably be Paul. You know, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Isn't that right? Faith gives substance to things hoped for. But listen to this. Without hope, faith has nothing to give substance to. Are you listening to me? As a magnetic leader, you got to inspire hope in people. You got to let them know things are going to get better. If you want to attract anybody. Can you understand that? Listen to this. Such a strong nugget. New nugget. You ready for this? Hope is the foundation of all change. Oh, that's good. That's better than you know. Hope is the foundation of all change. If you don't first hope that things will change, you will not be able to add faith to anything to make those circumstances change. It's got to start with, hey, you know, there's a light at the end of this doggone tunnel. Things could get better for me. Matter of fact, in Jesus' name, I believe they will now. That's faith. Until you have that hope, until you have that light at the end of the tunnel, that you will never, ever change. That's why the blessed hope, the rapture of the church, Titus 2:12-13 is called the blessed hope. Because no matter how bad it seems to get, well, there's always hope. We'll get out of here. It's the blessed hope. Jesus understood that principle. He understood that if you're going to be a magnetic leader, you've got to inspire and instill hope in people. It's going to get better, praise God. It's going to get better, praise God. It's going to get better, praise God. It's going to get better. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Woo! Are you listening to me? Listen to this nugget. Listen to this nugget. Always leave a light at the end of everybody's tunnel. Always leave a light at the end of everybody's tunnel. You got to inspire hope. Are you listening to me? Magnetic mandate number 6. Are you ready for this? Vision. If you're going to be a magnetic leader, you've got to have vision. Now, we've talked a lot about vision, so I'm not going to cover a lot here. And you know the scripture, Proverbs 29:18, where the Bible says, without a vision, my people perish. Isn't that right? Let me just give you one nugget and we'll move on because we've covered so much about vision. Listen to this. You ready? Dissatisfaction and discouragement are not caused by an absence of things, but an absence of vision. Now, let me say it again. Dissatisfaction and discouragement are not caused by an absence of things, but by an absence of vision. If you're going to be a magnetic, attracting leader, you got to have vision. Amen. Are you listening to me? Magnetic mandate number 7. Are you ready for this? Excitement. Ever say excitement? Now see, y'all, I don't know what this is. Not a Tony Robbins whatever infomercial. This is Bible, guys. You got to have excitement. What do I want to hang around you for if this is you all the time? If you look like the little woman in Luke 13 all bowed over for 18 years. You may find a lot of quarters, but you ain't going to have nobody following you. Is anybody listening to me? Now, I'm not trying to be cruel or unkind. I'm trying to make a point. You know, if you're always walking around with a pickle puss on your face, nobody's going to follow you. You gotta have some excitement. You gotta have some passion. You gotta believe in something. You gotta have some enthusiasm. Well, show me that in the Bible. All right, mister, show me that in the Bible. How about Romans chapter 12 and verse 11? Where the Bible says we ought to be white hot in spirit. White hot means fervent. It says fervent in the King James. And if that word fervent means white hot, you ought to be enthusiastic about something. How about 2 Corinthians 9 2, where the Bible says that your zeal has provoked many. That's leadership, guys. Your zeal, your excitement, your enthusiasm will provoke people. Your pickle puss will bum people out. Can I have an amen? Come on, show some excitement about something. Isn't that right? Listen to this. Listen to this. This is a great nugget. Fun leads to enjoyment, which leads to participation. Fun leads to enjoyment, which leads to participation. If you want somebody to participate in your deal, start having a little bit of fun. Now, I'm not saying you're responsible. How many know that you can be fun and be very responsible? Amen. I'm one of the most responsible people you ever met. But listen, I'm also fun. I'm a one-man dog on Dollywood. I don't know about that. Now, listen to this. Let me. You want me to tell you? Let me tell you about the largest church in Tennessee. You ready for this? As I was writing this down this afternoon, I was loving this. Let me tell you about the largest church in Tennessee and why it's so attractive. You all think it's the church you go to. It ain't. Let me tell you about the largest church in Tennessee and why so many people participate. You ready? They come every Saturday. They have a Saturday service, by the way. And they pay their $20 tithe to get in. They worship to their favorite praise song called Rocky Top. They lift their hands and do the wave. As they worship every Saturday their great God, Goball. Largest church in Tennessee. Now, why do you think 100,000 people come to the largest church in Tennessee every Saturday in the fall? Because it's fun! Well, it is to Ryan and Mr. Wilson. Are you listening to me? But can you see my point in that? Because it's fun! You can still have fun. You can still enjoy the journey. And still be responsible. Now, are you ready for a heavy revelation here? I mean, it's going to change your life. You ready for this? You sure? You were John, you ready for this? Are you sure? I mean, this is heavy. You ready? You can choose not to be boring. You can actually make a choice not to be a big log on the wall. You can choose not to be boring. Please make the choice not to be boring. I don't understand why people are boring. I don't understand why people are boring. Why are you so boring? Could I have an amen? Could be so boring. Choose to have a little fun. Choose to be so boring all the time. Could I have an amen? The only person that is allowed to bore me is my mother. I'll come out there. Don't think I won't come out there. Magnetic mandate number 8. Are you ready for this? This is going to be deep. You ready? Be nice and smile. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Now, I want to bring something out in here that's fresh. Ephesians chapter 4, we've seen this verse before. Be nice and smile. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 15 and verse 13, where the Bible says that if you have a cheerful heart, you'll have a merry countenance. Do you know that? In other words, you know what your countenance is? The countenance is the face of your spirit. If you really have a merry heart, eventually it's going to show up on your face. And if it never shows up on your face, what you're telling me is you are reflecting your heart. Now, I know that we all have days. I understand that. But what I am saying, guys, is if you really have a merry heart, eventually it'll show up on your kisser. And if it never shows up on your kisser, guess what? It's not in your heart. I mean, that's the honest truth of things. So we need to be nice and smile. Could I have an amen? Ephesians chapter 4. This is good stuff, isn't it? If you want to be a magnetic leader, and every one of you ought to desire that. Ephesians chapter 4, and let's take a look at verse 32. Look at this. Isn't this strong? Don't you enjoy that? Aren't you just having fun? Can't you feel yourself being lifted? Can't you feel yourself becoming a leader? Can't you feel those steel filings being attracted to you? I like it. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Can't you feel yourself up on a refrigerator somewhere? Well, you got to be a magnetic leader. Could I have an amen? Oh, look at verse 32. And be ye kind. Everybody say, be kind. Now, remember how we translated that in that one sermon? Be nice. Come on, grab your ear. No, I'll grab your neighbor's ear and say, now, be nice. Now, watch out for the wax. Now stay with me. Stay with me. Don't have so much fun that you lose me. Can I have an amen? This is not Dollywood. This is Freesy Wood. Now let's take a look at verse 32. And be kind. Everybody say be kind. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted. Now that word kind, and we've talked about it before, is the Greek word krestos. And I was so fascinated by this word. The word krestos means to be employed or useful or gracious or kind or nice. Just be kind. Be useful. Now here's the nugget we can glean from that. And I was telling my second year students this. If you're not kind, listen to me, you're not useful. If you're not kind, you are not, according to the Bible, if you're not kind, you're not useful. Well, I want more scripture on that. All right, Mr. More Scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's take a look at that. If you're not kind, you're not useful. You got to be kind. You got to smile. Do you know that people are genuinely attracted to warm, kind people? Genuine, not phony baloney, but people that are genuinely warm and genuinely kind and genuinely nice, people are actually attracted to that. Can you imagine? 2 Timothy chapter 2. Isn't this good? Look at verse 21. If a man, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel of honor, sanctified and meet. Everybody say meet. Meet for the master's use. Now that word meet is just an addition to krestos. It's eukrestos. You is good, well, prosperous. Krestos is that same Greek word. It means to be useful. So it means good, well, prosperous usefulness. Meaning, and notice what it said, meet for the master's use. Meaning, if you put those two scriptures together, if you are not kind, you are not useful for the master's use. It's that simple. In order to be useful, we must be kind. Just a very simple thing. If you want to be a magnetic leader, you just got to be nice and kind and smile. Could I have an amen? And that's really the truth. Can you hear me? Now, I told some of my students this, and I'm going to bring this nugget out here. This is a nugget that I felt like the Lord just gave me. Listen to me. How many know that there is a difference between being a celebrity and a hero? There's a difference between being a celebrity and a hero. Listen to this. Celebrities are visible. Heroes are usable. There's a difference between being a celebrity and a hero. Celebrities are visible. Listen, heroes are usable. America equates visibility to being a hero. That's garbage. Just because you're visible doesn't mean you're a hero. Heroes, guys, take the behind-the-scenes role and lift other people up. Could I have an amen? Whether anybody sees it or not, there's a difference between being a celebrity and the difference between being a hero, and God wants heroes. Amen. Amen. Do you know that people that are very well gifted, if they get visible too quick, it's going to hurt them? Are you listening to me? Amen. Let's ever say, I want to be a hero. Can you hear that? There's a difference, again, between being a celebrity and a hero. Celebrities are visible. Heroes are usable. And listen, therefore, if you put that together, to be usable, you got to be kind. If you want to be a hero, you got to be kind. Is anybody listening? Magnetic mandate number 9. If you want to be a magnetic leader in this new millennium, you're going to have to be a person of encouragement. Romans chapter 14. Let's turn over there. Now, we saw this. We looked at this in Jamaica. Romans 14. You're going to have to be a person of encouragement. Can I have an amen? Romans chapter 14. Ever say Romans?
Romans.
Come on, you with me tonight?
Yeah.
Now, I encourage you to rise to this level. Because we need people that can attract people, and not just attract anybody, but also attract tens. If you want tens, you got to be a ten. Could I have an amen from the tens?
Yeah.
Romans chapter 14. Let's take a look at verse 19. Let us therefore follow. Everybody say follow. Now, that Greek word is dioko. Dioko, and this is so strong, it means to pursue, to persecute. They used that word dioko when it was talking about Saul, when he hunted down the church, the same word they used. And I was so fascinated by this. It literally, you could translate it this way, it means to hunt down. See, you need to start hunting down people to build them up, because that's what it goes on to say. Notice what it says in verse 9. It says it in the positive sense. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and the things wherewith one may edify or build up another. So God is telling you and I, if you want to be a magnetic leader in the new millennium, you're going to have to hunt people down to encourage them. Find somebody to lift. Find somebody to encourage. What does encourage mean? It means to put courage in. Find somebody and put courage in them. Are you listening to me? Boy, that's important. Now, you've heard me say this before. It is time that we have less boasting and more boosting. Could I have an amen? Let's lift somebody up. You heard me say this just the other day in class. Leaders don't make others think more highly of them, but leaders make others think more highly of you. Are you listening to me? As a leader, we need to always, this is a nugget the Lord gave me, always leave people lifted. Whenever you get around somebody, leave them lifted, praise God. Amen. Now, the reason sometimes I think that you guys don't always leave people lifted is because you don't believe that you have something valuable to say to somebody. You need to start believing that you have something valuable to say to somebody. And you need to also understand that the person that you're saying something valuable to is also valuable. And when you take that valuable something that you got to say and give it to someone who God sees as valuable, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get more value out of somebody. You just got to start believing you got something to say. Amen. You got to start believing. Now, of course, you got to have something to say, and it's going to come from this book. Does anybody listen to me? Isn't that good? Ask yourself this question. All right, you ready, leaders? Ask yourself this question, because this is going to be where the rubber meets the road. Ask yourself this question. How do you make others feel about themselves? When you're around somebody, how do you make them feel about them? And that's going to tell you, and that's going to tell me, are we really becoming a magnetic leader? When you're around somebody, how do you make them feel? That's where the rubber hits the road. I think we're listening to that. Isn't that right? I hope you're listening. Amen. Ask yourself, do you make others feel good about themselves? Ask yourself that honestly. Do you make somebody else feel good about themselves when they're around you? Ask yourself that. Honestly. And if you don't, it's time that we start become a magnetic leader. Could I have an amen? Magnetic mandate number 10. Are you listening to this one? If you're going to attract people, guys, you're going to have purpose. You're going to have a sense of purpose about you, and you're going to have to instill it in other people. The Bible says in John 4 and verse 34, the Bible says, Jesus said, "This is my meat." That word meat means sustenance or mental satisfaction or delight. "This is my meat, to do the will of the Father and finish the course." Purpose, guys, gives you a sense of significance. Now, your main purpose is to know God. That's where your main sense of significance will come from. But secondarily, out of knowing Him, you'll have a destiny. Without purpose, listen to me closely, you'll have no passion. If you don't have purpose, you'll have no passion. Could I have an amen? Listen to these nuggets. Oh, they're so strong. You ready for this? You are not great because of what you own, but you are great due to what you give your life to accomplish. You're not great because of what you own. You're great depending on what you give your life to accomplish. Your possessions don't make you great. What you give your life to makes you great or not. Is anybody listening to me? Listen. I've said this before, and Ashley liked this one. You make a living by what you get, but you make a life by what you give. It's time now that we begin to have some purpose in our lives, that we're accomplishing something for God, and we are placing things into people. Could I have an amen? Amen. Listen to this. Ask yourself. Now, here's a question that I want you to honestly ask yourself before God, just like this last question. Are you listening? Ask yourself honestly, do you add value to others? When you're around somebody, do you add value to them? Because of your purpose, do you add value to others? And if you honestly don't, it's time that we become a magnetic leader in the new millennium. Magnetic mandate number 11. Now, how many did I say we had? So this means this is the last one. Can you take a sigh of relief? Magnetic mandate number 11. Are you ready for this? Love for people. Now, what did we start out with? Love for God. What are we ending up with? Love for people. Such is all of life. Such is all of WCBI. That's all we focus in on. Love God, love people. That's what it always comes down to. Love God and love people. Can I have an amen? Philippians 1:17, the Bible says that some people preach out of love. And we share that in Jamaica. That is the purpose for ministry. Whatever you're doing, whatever you're saying, it better be out of love for God and love for people, or it is a waste of time. Are you listening to me? Love for people. Ever say love for people? Now listen to this. This was a scientific study that Stanford University did. Now, Chad, you'll be interested in this. You ready for this? Stanford University, they said this. 14% of all success, this was secular, this was Christian, whatever, 14% of all success, listen, comes from product knowledge. 86% of all success, listen, comes from people knowledge. You tell me what this is all about. Does anybody listen to me? Amen. Can you see that? Listen to these nuggets. People are not tools to get the job done. People are not tools to get the job done. Listen, people, this is nuggets the Lord gave me. You ready for this? People are accounts waiting to be invested in. People are accounts waiting to be invested in. Listen to this nugget. People are banks waiting for you to make a deposit. We got to have a love for people if we're going to be a magnetic leader. And it's got to be legitimate. Is anybody listening to me? Listen to that. People, don't try to rattle this in. Just listen. People are accounts waiting to be invested in. People are banks waiting for a deposit. Are you listening to me? Now, I want to give you the balance in that, and this is as something I've shared with you before. And as the Lord spoke to me, He said, only invest in those that show interest. You know, it's not my job to track you down to give a deposit in. You got to be at least somewhere around so that I can make a deposit. Could I have an amen? And listen to this nugget. If your investments turn and rend you, you got your money in a piggy bank. Now, let me describe that. Matthew 7, that's something the Lord gave me. Matthew 7, 6, where the Bible says that if you sow your pearls, you cast your pearls before swine, watch out lest they turn and rend you. If the investments that you're making in people, guys, turn and rend you, you got your money in a piggy bank. Could I have an amen? Isn't that good, though? Don't invest in piggy banks. Could I have an amen? That's good. Now, you say, all right, Mr. Priest, tell me practically, if I'm going to be this magnetic leader in the new millennium, tell me practically how to love people. Are you ready for this? I'm going to tell you practically how to love people. All this is so strong. I've snuck 6 little extra points under number 11. And it don't seem right, does it? They're all excited. All right, number 11, we're almost done. Now, how are we going to love people? You ready for this? Number one, value people. God does. You got to value people. God does. Amen. Number two, believe in people. Listen, God does. You guys, you are just grouchy. You got to believe in somebody. Could I have an amen? Listen to this. Learn to see the oak tree in every acorn. You got to see every single oak tree and every single acorn. If I could just get you to believe in you like I believe in you, if I could just do that, we'd change this world. Amen. I guarantee you, with maybe a few exceptions, 95% of all the people in this room right now don't believe in you as much as I do. I guarantee you. And what you got to start doing is start believing in you like I do and like God does. Amen. Why do you think I say so many nice things to this lady right here? Because I see there's a gold mine in there waiting to come out, praise God. Amen. She didn't know what to do. What do you want? So I just wanted 5. I only wanted was 5. All right, thank you, praise God. All right. Thank you. So we got to believe in people. Can I have an amen? This kind of teaching just turns me on because this is where I'm supposed to be. Are you listening to this? Third way, how are we going to love people? You ready? Third way, find common ground without compromise with people. See, I see so many people, they always focus in on what they disagree about. Find something that you both agree on. Now, sometimes it's impossible. Romans 12 and verse 18 says that. It says, live peaceably with everybody as much as it is possible. Certain people, no matter what you do, they just won't agree. And so that's certain people. But most everybody, you can find something that you agree on and focus in on that. See, you have to learn in loving people and listening. Because remember Jesus? Remember he went to that woman at the well? Remember that? And remember, he found common ground with her to minister to her. And he did so without compromising. Y'all remember that? Remember Paul, you know, in the book of Acts, and there was that statue built to the unknown God? He found common ground with those people without compromising. See, you have to learn in loving people, you got to learn to take, listen, an alliance role, not an adversarial role. Oh, that's better than you understood right there. You have to learn to take an alliance role and not an... I know people that all they do is take an adversarial role. Take an alliance role. Find something that you can agree on and focus in on that. And listen, you might be able to change the things that you disagree on if you start here first. All right, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Is anybody listening to me? The fourth way we're going to love people, listen to me closely, put yourself in their shoes. Just put yourself in their shoes, just for a little bit. Does anybody listen to me? The Bible says in Proverbs 18:17, one man comes and says something, another man comes and sets the record straight. Meaning that most everybody has a perspective. So what we have to do is put ourselves in their shoes. Now, this is not going to originate with me, what I'm going to say. It was actually out of a newspaper, but this is so good. You listen for this? Listen to this. This is so good. And see, so many times that's what we do. We judge ourselves on our intentions and judge other people on their actions. So what I'm going to try to do is help you put yourself in their shoes. Listen to this now. A lot of times when something takes a long time, in others we call it slow. When it's us, we call it thorough. This is going to be good in your life. A lot of times when the job didn't get done, in others we call it lazy. With us, we say, well, we're busy. Is anybody listening? A lot of times when someone does something without being told, we say, in others, that's overstepping your bounds. With us, that's initiative. Is anybody listening? With others, when someone doesn't abide by the rules, we say, oh, they're rude. With us, we're original. You know, Brian Price and I have it. He calls me crazy. I say I'm free. It's a perspective. Can I have an amen? And he's coming around to mine. Praise God. Is anybody listening? Listen to this. A lot of times with our boss or with our pastor, if we try to please him, with others, they're a brown noser. With us, cooperative. A lot of times when someone gets ahead on the job, oh, they're getting a break. With us, promotion time. Is anybody listening to me? A lot of time when somebody does something wrong, with others, that's sin. With us, shortcoming. Perspective, perspective. Put yourself in somebody else's shoes. Are you listening to me? Amen. The fifth way we're going to love people. You ready for this? We're going to stand with people during tough times. Now that's a big one right there. Stand with people during tough times. The Bible says in Proverbs 17:17 that a friend loves at all times. The last part of that verse says, a brother is born for adversity. Make a habit. I'm not talking about going down with a sinking Richard Nixon or a sinking Saul. I'm not talking about that. But what I am saying is, make a habit. Do you know that Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, you know he was in jail, right? Do you know that he was actually falsely accused and he was in jail because he was being falsely accused? And everybody left him, 2 Timothy 1:16, all of Asia, or 14, 15, 16, all of Asia left him except, remember, for Onesiphorus. We have to stand with people during tough times. I make a habit of when people go through tough times to make extra efforts to bless them, particularly ministers. I make a habit, if their kid, their PK is going through a tough time, I make a habit of trying to find that PK and encourage them. I make a habit of that because you got to sow some seeds. I make a habit of making wonderful pastors out of guys like this. Does anybody listen to me? See, and you got to start standing with people during tough times. Now, I'm not talking about in a stupid fashion or an unwise fashion, but I am talking about if you're going to love people, stand with someone in a tough time, you've made a friend forever. And you're not doing it to make a friend. You're doing it because it's right. Is anybody listening? Stand with your pastor if he's being falsely accused. Stand with your freesy if people are lying on us. Is anybody listening? Listen to this story. This is so powerful. Remember Jackie Robinson, the first guy to break through in baseball as a black man? You all remember that? You sports guys. How many know what I'm talking about? All right. And when he first black guy broke through in baseball, And he came under so much persecution, people from the stands were hollering negative things at him, and on. Anytime he made an error, people would just give him what for, I mean, really hard, really bad. And so finally they were at their home crowd, and Jackie Robinson made an error. People were standing on their feet, boo, 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 really giving him a hard time, a real hard time. And Pee Wee Reese, you remember Pee Wee Reese? He was a shortstop. Some of you do, but he's a great baseball player. Pee Wee Reese came, the stands, everybody, stand up, boo, boo. Pee Wee Reese came from the shortstop position, Jackie Robinson played second, and went over to Jackie Robinson, put his arm around him, and looked at the crowd. Jackie Robinson made a friend for life. Is anybody listening to me? That's what you need to do. When everybody's standing around, boo, boo, you go and put your arm around somebody and say, it's my friend. You're going to boo him, you're going to boo me too. Is anybody listening to that? Woo! Number six, if we're going to really love people, listen. Don't take people for granted. Don't you take people for granted. Are you listening to me? If you really love people, don't take them for granted. Just because they're with you today doesn't gonna be mean they're going to be with you tomorrow if you start taking them for granted. Listen to this. The moment we take our relationships with our spouse, our pastor, our roommate, our friend, or even God, the moment we begin to take those relationships for granted is the moment they start slipping away. That's right. You better listen to that. Don't take relationships for granted. Don't become familiar with them. Because the moment you do, they start slipping away. Is anybody listening? The Bible says in 1 John in chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 17, it says, we should not love just in word or in tongue, but we ought to love in deed and in truth. So now it's one thing for me to say, all right, don't take relations for granted. Hallelujah. Well, I'm gonna show you that I'm going to be a hearer and a doer of that. If you're a student in this, I want you to stand up. If you're a student in this room, stand up. That also includes David Townsend. I know he's not a student, but he's a grad. If you're, stand up. Now, I want to show you that you are not being, and Angela also. I want to show you that you're not being taken for granted. Chuck, where's Chuck? Is he in here? Tape guy. We want to give every single one of you a free tape of your choice after this service. Free tape for everybody. Only thing I want you to do is pray a seat over it. I want to give it to everyone because I want to show you that I don't want to take you guys for granted. You guys are good people. Can I have an amen? All right, you all can be seated. Now, if you're a staff in here, I want you to stand up. All right, staff. Hey, staff. Say, hey, staff. I want to show my staff I'm not taking them for granted. Now, this may not seem like a big deal, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to take $10 off of every one of their missions trips, which totals, you know, $110. $10 off of every single one of your missions trips because I want to show you I love you and I'm not taking you for granted. Praise God. Amen. Let's give the staff a hand clap. And then I would like Miss Ann to stand. You can sit down. Miss Ann, would you stand up and would you please come forward? Now I'm going to not take for granted the most important person that I should never take for granted. This is my wonderful wife who I love so much. Could I have an amen? Amen. This is somebody we should never take for granted. Isn't that right? Come on up here, Pastor Rob. Amen. Something I bought my wife on the way over to the sermon tonight because I want to let her know I don't take her for granted. Praise God. I love, ever say, I love Miss Ann. Amen. This is a special lady, and I don't want to ever take her for granted. We don't need to. Yeah, give her a hand clap. Thanks, Miss Ann. I have a special card in there I wrote to you. Amen. Glory to God. So, if we are going to be a magnetic leader, in the new millennium, we're going to have 11 magnificent mandates to become that magnetic leader. Isn't that right? Number one, we're going to be intimate with Jesus. Number two, we're going to have character. Isn't that right? Not going to be one, we're going to have character. Three, we're going to create a sense of longing. Four, we're going to have confidence. That confidence comes from knowledge. Number five, hope. Hope is the foundation for all change. Number six, vision. Everybody say vision. Number seven, we're going to be exciting. We're going to have fun, which will create enjoyment, which will create participation. You're going to have to choose not to be boring. Number eight, be nice and smile. Grab yourself by the ear right now and say, be nice.
Be nice.
Number nine, we're going to encourage people. Isn't that right? And number 10, we're going to have purpose. And number 11, we're going to have a love for people. How? We're going to value people. We're going to believe in people. We're going to find common ground without compromise. We're going to put ourselves in their shoes. We're going to stand with people during tough times. And we're not going to take people for granted.